Hey, this is Mitch Gallagher from Sweetwater. September is Guitar Month here at Sweetwater, and all month long we have exclusives, limited time offers, 48-month interest-free financing, price drops, instant rebates, giveaways, and so much more. Check it all out at sweetwater.com or call 800-222-4700.
Hey everybody, Jason Shadrick here with PremierGuitar.com, and we're with Jimmy Herring, and we are at Manifold Studios in North Carolina, where he's in the midst of a two-day masterclass performance session at this pretty amazing studio.
Yeah.
And it's late at night here, and it's after everything's kind of died down for the day, and you're going to walk us through your kind of rig that you're going to be taking out for your solo band, for your tour, for your latest album.
This is a typical American standard Fender that I got from my good friend Joey O'Neill in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And of course, I wanted to have a stock Strat laying around, but it didn't stay stock very long. I ended up changing the pickups to these Lawler Imperial humbuckers. And this guitar has two volumes and one tone because, you know, I like the way Gibson guitars with two humbuckers have mm-hmm. two volumes and two tones with the Gibson, but we didn't have enough holes in the pick guard to have two tones. So we just used two volumes, and the reason I prefer that is I like to leave it on both pickups a lot. You know, it's a typical three-way switch here. But one of my favorite sounds that I tend to use most of the time is both pickups at the same time, but with the neck pickup rolled off just a little bit. The bridge would be wide open, and I'll back the neck pickup off a little bit, and that lets the bridge dominate it. But it's still a little bit sweeter than the bridge pickup by itself, to my taste anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, so I most of the time, when it sounds like a bridge pickup, it's mostly both pickups, but with the neck rolled off just a little bit. Rarely do I put it on the bridge by itself because it's just, this is a little creamier sounding to me. And obviously the neck is not stock either. Bill DeLapp did the neck work on this guitar. He flattened the neck out. This was an experiment I wanted to see. I met him in Santa Cruz one time, and he had done a lot of work for Alan Holdsworth, who he's the greatest. And I've always admired him, and he likes a 20-inch radius on a neck, and I never knew what that felt like. And Bill did a lot of that work for him, and when I met him, he offered to, send me a guitar, and I'll do the same kind of thing for you. And I like that really big fret wire. I prefer it. It's called Dunlop 6000 wire. And so he made the neck 20 inches, so that's really flat compared to, say, the stock Fender radius, which is like 9-point-something. Mm-hmm. And this guitar, it's just an American standard. It's not an expensive guitar at all. But the combination of the flat neck that he did this beautiful fret work on with the big frets and then the Lawler Imperials, and then the tremolo, which we're using, these light springs. The black springs seem to have less tension than the other springs. Mm-hmm. I think that's intended to be a little bit lighter. It wobbles a little bit easier, And Joel Byron, my guitar technician, is absolutely brilliant at keeping these things in tune. I don't know how he does it. I know he lubricates the nut slots with the Planet Waves stuff that they have that it's like pencil lead mixed with Vaseline or something mm-hmm. along those lines, and he wraps the tuners in a unique way where I believe he starts it by winding under the string that he puts through, and then after he's gone down one time, all the rest of the wraps go up to decrease the angle over the nut, so the strings aren't being pulled down as much on the wound strings. And then of course the plain strings, we don't use the string tree because that with the tremolo we don't use it. Uh-huh. But the tuners on this Fender are staggered, so they're lower here than they are on these. And I think you just wrap them normally, right, Joel?
All the strings are wrapped up except for the
The E and the B?
E and the B.
Okay, so...
the other strings go up the tuner post.
Right. All the other strings, these four right here, except for the E and the B, are wrapped upwards to keep the angle over the nut from being, you know... And it's he keeps it in tune. And these are not locking tuners, and there is no kind of locking mechanism on this guitar. Of course, I'm not dive bombing it. I just like the, you know, I like the bar, but, you know, I don't do any serious dive bombing. But there are a lot of whole steps and minor third bends with the bar, and it seems to stay in tune pretty well as long as he does it. I don't know how to do it.
And this is a guitar you use both in your band and with Panic?
Yeah, I've been using it with Panic ever since I got it. Blown away by Bill DeLapp's fretwork, and Joel also does amazing fretwork, and he happens to, you know, be with me out on the road, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, he did this Telecaster's fretwork. You want to look at that one?
Yeah, let's check that one out.
Now, this Telecaster, I got it off eBay for $500.
Do you shop a lot on eBay, or do you try to keep...
I had a moment of weakness and made a couple of really bad purchases, and I've had bad luck with eBay. But I like this one. I think I got lucky with this one. I believe it's a Japanese reissue 62 Fender Telecaster. I changed the bridge to a Glendale bridge. I also believe I like the Glendale bridge a lot. I think it's incredible. It's great, and it doesn't have that really high lip that sticks up that, you know, used to hold the ashtray on these type of bridges. It's compensated, so, you know, you have some intonation control, and the pickups are Lahler 52s. Everything I've got pretty much has Lahler pickups in it. They're fantastic. I love the Lahler pickups. Joel, he redid all the electronics in this guitar. We got better pots. You know, we took all the original electronics out. You know, I think that's one of the things about these guitars. You know, these Japanese reissue guitars are super fine guitars, but we wanted to replace the tuners. But they're just stock Fender tuners, you know. We wanted to replace the pickups with the Lahler pickups, which we love. And the switch, Joel has put a five-way super switch in this guitar. And it's very similar to, you know, any five-way switch. But, you know, you only have two pickups here, not three like a Stratocaster. So here is the bridge pickup alone. And then here, when you put it in the next notch, it's these two pickups, but what?
In series, out of phase.
In series, out of phase. I have to ask him. I first played his Telecaster, which is right there, which is also a great guitar that he built himself. And he had it done to his with that in series,
out of phase,
Wiring schematic, and it sounded crazy, and I really liked it. Mm-hmm. It sounded like really kind of Albert King-ish or something. And I dug it, and so he did it to this one for me. And then the middle would be just like any Telecaster, these two pickups right here, the normal way. What is that?
Parallel,
thank you. And then when you move it one more, it's these two pickups again, but they're almost like a humbucking pickup that...
They're in series.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Thank you.
But they're in phase.
But they're in phase, yeah, thank you. And then here, which is a bigger sound, this seems to be louder than the normal way that these two pickups sound when they're in the middle here. Does it act almost like a humbucker that...
Yeah, you get twice that output.
Yeah,
it cuts the output in half.
In parallel, it cuts...
The resistance.
Yeah, it's technical. I don't understand it. I just know I like the sound of it.
Yeah.
And then here is just a typical neck pickup, which I mostly stay on. I mean, that's not fair to say that. I mostly play either the bridge or the neck. And I love the other combinations too, but it's a super light guitar. Feel that. Is that not light? I don't know what this guitar is made of, but my guess is that it might be basswood, because one of the reasons I got it so cheap was that somebody did some ugly stuff under this bridge.
Yeah.
You know, and it looks real porous and like it would chip away very easily. And so I've heard that some of the Japanese Telecasters were basswood. Although I don't know that for a fact. It could be just a light piece of alder. But
have you begun, now that you're playing a Telemore, to not fear the treble?
No, I still fear the treble. I fear hurting people with the treble. Mm-hmm. It's the worst thing in the world. Real Telecaster guys don't fear the treble. I'm just a poser. I'm a poser. But I do love Telecasters. Now, this is where it used to say made in Japan, but somebody, I guess, who had it before had rubbed that off, and you can't see it. My guess is that this is one of those ones from the mid-80s that is pretty desirable, and they're bringing pretty good prices on eBay, but this one wouldn't because somebody rubbed that off. Mm-hmm. And plus, you can see where they had another bridge on this guitar that was not, that didn't fit. I couldn't care less about that.
Right.
Okay, and the other big thing about this guitar is Joel refretted this guitar with our favorite fret wire, which is that Dunlop 6000 wire. Other companies' 6000 wire isn't the same size as Dunlop for some reason. Mm-hmm. So Dunlop is the best fret wire I know of. And I like that 6000 wire. And Joel made this neck 16 inches radius. So it's not 20 like this one. It's not dead flat, but it's pretty flat. Mm-hmm. You know, anyone who played a Martin guitar knows what a 16-inch radius feels like. It feels really good. It's not super flat, but it's pretty flat. He put those big frets on it. I really like this guitar. Mm-hmm. Really like it. Super light, you know, and then this.
And you played that like almost most of the night tonight.
I know, and you know, and it doesn't sound near as creamy as the humbuckers, but I guess I'm just in a different place right now, and I don't know. I mean, for all I know, in a week, I won't even be, it might not come out of the case, you know. But the beauty of hardtail bridges are so immediate, you know. When you bend the note, you're not fighting the tremolo, and that's the big trade-off with having the tremolo set kind of where, you know, it's easy to wobble notes and stuff. Then your bending is, like, really hard because every time, I'll show you what I mean, you know, and most people know this, but, like, look what, watch that bridge when I start bending a note. Do you see it moving? Mm-hmm. Okay. So every time I hit a D and want to bend to an E, you can see that bridge move. Mm-hmm. You see that bar moving? So you're fighting that, and I got a elbow brace on because, you know, I'm getting too old to try to be doing that. You know, and it'll give you tendonitis, which I'm sure I have, you know. But it's worth it because of the flexibility the bar can give you.
And what strings are you using on these guitars?
These are all D'Addario 10-gauge strings. You know, a standard D'Addario 10-gauge set.
Hi, this is Mitch Gallagher from Sweetwater. September is the best month of the year for guitar players because we're celebrating guitars, amps, pedals, and accessories all month long with Guitar Month. We've got exclusives from Marshall, Walrus Audio, Gretsch, and the incredible Fender Custom Shop GT11 Strats and Tellys. Limited time offers, 48-month interest-free financing on many brands, price drops, instant rebates, giveaways, and so much more. You definitely don't want to miss Guitar Month at Sweetwater. Follow us on social media, visit sweetwater.com, or call 800-222-4700.
This is a Jerry Jones baritone that I've really grown to love, this thing. It's an amazing instrument because it can be so guttural, you know. The strings, we have it tuned really low. That most people tune baritones to the low note is a B. But we actually tune this thing down a whole step lower than that to an A. So that's an A.
So what type of strings are you using on this baritone?
We're using D'Addario strings on everything we have. And the string gauges on this instrument are around a 14 to a 68. 14 to 68, mm-hmm. And I know that sounds like big strings, but this thing's tuned a whole step lower than a normal baritone even, so we've gone up a little bit on the string gauge to try to stabilize it. It has a real unique thing with it tuned that low, but it can be a little floppy on the low, what would be the low E string, but now is the low A string. This instrument is fantastic, I think, because it can go from being the most guttural, primal sounding thing to, you know, you put a lot of reverb on it and back the volume way off, and you play these chordal passages, like just big open, like just a normal E chord or a D, C, you know. I mean, it's almost hymnal sounding, you know.
And it's pretty stock. You haven't changed
anything? It's totally stock. I've done absolutely nothing to it.
And what tunes on a typical night will you be playing this on?
On this tune? Well, this guitar, we have a new song on the new record called Bilgewater Blues. We'll use it on that. We also use it on, we've been messing around with A Day in the Life, you know, and of course, such a masterful, wonderful tune. And really, Jeff Beck's recreated the song in a way. So it's, it, you know, but I love the tune so much. But and I would never think of doing it because he's so great. I mean, he's done so many great things with it. But doing it on this is different to me because it's tuned so much lower. Mm-hmm. And I can approach it in a different way and, you know, find some new things with it. So it's such a wonderful tune. I just can't resist the tune.
Sure.
And so we've only rehearsed it a few times, but I guess we'll maybe be playing that on this tour, mm-hmm. A Day in the Life, with this instrument. And also, God, there's other ones too. There's like four or five of them that we'll be using on this guitar, but I can't remember what they all are at this moment. I can't remember. Maybe a Freddie King tune called Heads Up. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like... You know, mm-hmm. Classic little tune there. And but doing it in a much lower key, of course, on the baritone. Just has a whole cool thing for blues, you know. It's really cool. It'd be great if I could get a twang bar on one of these. You know, if I could get that, I would be in heaven, you know, because then you could get all the expressiveness of the bar. But with that thing, oh, that would be amazing. But Jerry Jones no longer builds guitars. He's retired. And I got one of his last ones, I think. I love the baritone so much that I got another guitar like this, except it's not a baritone. It's just a normal scale, like a Fender type scale. Uh-huh. It's like a bad Telecaster. I mean, it sounds like a Telecaster, but with a twist.
Oh, wow.
His pickups are special, Jerry Jones. Mm-hmm. You know, his pickups are, they're like Dan Electro pickups, but they have his own special thing. Mm-hmm. You know.
Cool. All right. Well, let's walk out and take a look at your amps and effects.
Okay.
All right, Jimmy. So here we are in front of your amps that you're going to be taking on the road for your solo tour. So tell us a little bit about the first one you have over here.
This is basically a 1964 Super Reverb, mm-hmm. Fender. It's an old black face amp that I, you know, I've always loved. But my favorite speakers, they won't fit inside the Super Reverb's, you know, proper cabinet, the one that it came with. The problem is I can fit two of the speakers in the bottom, but the upper two speakers, they have magnets that stick out that bump into the transformer on the head, you know, when it's going into the combo amp. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think the combo sounds great, but I want four Alnico tone tubbies, you know. I don't want two and then compromise in some way for the top speakers. So I called Mojo Tone and I asked them if they could build me a head for the Super Reverb brain, you know. Mm-hmm. And then build me a separate cabinet for the speakers, which has a flat top. It's the same size as a normal Super Reverb cabinet. It fits in a Super Reverb case, you know. And we put that this way, I can put my favorite speakers. I mean, I think the real Super Reverb looks a lot cooler, you know, because it's got the A. It's old, you know, and it looks awesome. But I can't fit four of my favorite speakers in it, so I do this. And Mojo Tone builds really quality stuff. The speakers are Alnico Tone Tubby, just my favorite speaker of all time.
And tell me a little bit about how you set the EQ for Super Reverb.
It's real basic, and Derek Truck showed me this years ago. You turn the volume up. You turn it basically to 8 or more. 8 seems to max out on my amps. Anything more than that, it just kind of turns to mush. So I keep the volume on about 8. The treble is usually around 8 or sometimes more. You know, if you're playing with humbuckers, you can turn the treble up more and it still sounds warm and good. With a Telecaster, I tend to put it around 7. And then the middle, you know, is only it's about 3.5 or 4. I don't use a lot. And then the bass is almost off in these old Fenders. I almost never use any bass because if you play on the neck pickup a lot and you play any low notes, the bass will make it, you know, muddy. And the reverb I'm not using in this particular amp because, you know, stages shake. And when this happens, everyone knows that sound of what a spring tank sounds like. Yeah, it can be a god-awful noise. And if I have to turn my reverb off because the stage is shaking, I'm going to be really unhappy because I'm a reverb, absolute reverb junkie. I really can't live without it. It's kind of a crutch, you know. It's just something I really rely on. I love reverb, and because it sounds, I mean, now if I'm in a room that's got a lot of natural reverb in it, I don't really have to have it. But you know, because you can hear the, you know, the idea is that without reverb, it sounds to me like it's right here. Mm-hmm. And when it with reverb, it sounds like it's over here somewhere, and it just is kinder to my ear, and I can play better, you know. So what I do is I use this hot plate device, which is made by the THD company, because it has dual function. You know, you can actually use it as a power attenuator, and you can crank the amp up and then turn it down with the hot plate, which, I have to be honest, I don't really use it that way. I use it because it's got a line level output on the back. Mm-hmm. You can't see it, but there's a line level output back there, which allows me to be able to go from that line level out into a volume pedal. And then the volume pedal can then go to a digital reverb. And then we have, on this side of us, after the line out from the hot plate, it goes into the volume pedal over here, and then that goes to the input of a digital reverb. In this case, I'm using the Fractal Audio Axe Effects for the digital reverb. Mm-hmm. And then there's two outs on that are going into this Crown Power Amp. The Crown Power Amp is then connected to this Marshall cabinet in stereo. This is one of those Marshall cabinets that allows you to run these two 12s for one side and those two 12s for the other. That's why there's two mics on it right there. So the reverb is in stereo, although it's not separated, you know, which I would like it to be, but you know, I can't bring that much equipment on this tour. So anyway, the benefit of that is now this volume pedal can control the level of nothing but the reverb, and the other volume pedal I typically use is just to control the guitar's volume. Mm-hmm. And the benefit I find in that is, you know, like I set the effect level all the way wet on the digital reverb, so there's no straight signal coming through the reverb side. It's all just reverb. This is all dry in the super reverb, and this is all wet. This is very common, you know, a wet dry wet rig is really what it is, except it's a dry wet wet because I don't have the cabinets on either side of the dry source.
And tell me a little about the Hughes Kettner pedal you're using up there.
Oh yeah, of course. This is like one of my favorite things, a Hughes Kettner tube factor. I found this pedal years ago when I was working with Phil Lesh, and I had a Stratocaster through a twin, and I needed some kind of clean boost, and I just started looking for something, and I found that thing. And then I found out later, after I messed with it for a while with this amp, a super reverb, that with a humbucker guitar and that amp, it seems to be the best thing I've found. Mm-hmm. With Fender twins too, like a good blackface twin and that Hughes & Kettner tube factor is this is as good overdrive as I've found to go with that particular amp. It's got two channels of two stages of gain, but I don't use there's the green and then there's the red. The red is super distorted. I never use that unless I step on it by accident. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you got the super reverb cranked, and it's got quite a bit of gain, you know, that's already there when you crank the volume all the way up on your guitar, or in this case, a volume pedal. So I just use the green channel, which, you know, really, if you plugged it into a super clean amp, it wouldn't be that distorted, you know, but it gets quite a bit of gain going when you crank it up through this amp. And I don't have the gain, but a little bit past halfway, maybe. And, you know, it's just a great pedal. I love that pedal. I have a remote for it so I can keep the pedal back here. And then it's got a little remote that you can plug in and then keep the remote out by your pedals so that the wall wart and everything that plugs it in is not, you know, in the way of people's feet, you know. And that's really it. It's really simple. And
I mean, pretty much guitar pedals right through an amp with some reverb.
Yeah, I mean, my guitar goes into a volume pedal and then to that overdrive box and then straight to the front of the amp. And I don't like to put much in front of the amp. And really, with Telecasters and Strats, I don't really need the volume pedal. But, you know, but with the guitar that has the two volumes on it, mm-hmm. you can't control the whole volume by one knob the way, you know, mm-hmm. you could, like, if you have a pedal. You know, and like I said, with that guitar, I tend to leave it on both pickups and roll the neck down just a little bit. And then if I turn the neck down more, it changes the tone, you know. And then if I turn it all the way off, it'll shut the whole guitar off. But I can't have the control over the subtle control over the volume like I like to without the volume pedal on that guitar. But and I've grown accustomed to a volume pedal, you know, over the years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a real basic rig. The Crown is not a tube amp, but I don't really need a tube amp. And I discovered this later. I used to think I needed a tube amp to drive the reverb, too. And we did use tube amps for the reverb for a long time. But then I figured, look, it's just reverb. There's nothing coming through there but reverb. And I tried the Crown as an experiment, and I've been happy with it. So mm-hmm. I'll just leave it at that, you know. Seems to work.
And then how does this, is this pretty similar to what you'd use on a Panic Tour?
Yeah, it's the same kind of principle. It's just that with Panic, I would use like a Fuchs amp or a Two Rock amp. Those amps are much, they can get a lot louder than the Super Reverb. And I won't need an overdrive pedal with their amps because they have amazing overdrive built into the amp. I mean, they have, you know, two channels on those amps. And one of my Fuchs amps has three channels, you know, two different overdrive channels and a clean channel. And so, you know, for that rig, it would be set up exactly the same way except for no overdrive box. And I don't need the hot plate with the Fuchs amps or the, you know, because they have an effect send. But these old Fenders, they don't have an effect send, and they don't have an effect send or a preamp out or a line out or anything like that, you know. And who wants to go cutting into your beautiful 1964, you know, amp and adding things like effect sends? I know I don't want to do that. And it used to drive me crazy until I found out about the hot plate. And also there's a device called a line out box that John Sur makes, and those are great, you know, because I mean, you know, they're not a power attenuator, you know, they just have the line out and a level control for the line out, which is really kind of important, the level control for the line out, so that if you decide you want to use something less than instrument level, you can turn it down, you know, you can turn the knob down. I've driven Fender tube spring reverb units with that line level out, but of course I turned it way down where it was closer to a guitar level signal, which is what they're meant to see. And man, that thing sounded great. Sounded great. You know, you get one of those tube Fender reverbs and you take a twin or something like that and you use the hot plate with it and then take that line level out, go into the standalone tube reverb, but you got to turn the level control on the hot plate way down so it doesn't, clip the tube reverb.
Sure.
And then that tube reverb can then return to another Fender amp right into the front of the amp as long as you have the send control down enough mm-hmm. on the hot plate. And it makes it sound like a gigantic Fender amp because because you have like one twin could be dry and another twin could be just the reverb. Because you know those tube reverbs, they have a mix knob on them. You just turn it all the way clockwise to where no straight signal comes through the separate, you know, cabinet, and it's really great.
So if people want to find out more information about your tour dates, your new album on Abstract Logics, mm-hmm. they can check out your website.
Yeah, you could go there. You could go to Abstract Logics, and they should have all the information too.
Great.
Yeah.
All right, Jimmy, thank you so much.
Thanks,
man.
Thanks, Jason. I appreciate it. Thank you.
This is Jason Shadrick with PremierGuitar.com.